Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine. We have a phone line open for you, so dial 888-ASK-HANK and join us on the show. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to our callers in just a moment. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Before we do go to the callers, I do want to address a question that I address in the Creation Answer book. Namely, the question, is evolution racist? And I think it's a very important question to answer because there's a lot of obfuscation that's going on with respect to this very subject. For example, Darwin apologist Richard Dawkins has cleverly attempted to absolve Darwinism from overt racism, but his sleight of mind would be humorous if it were not so pathetic. All you have to do is read Darwin's writings to recognize that his preservation of favored races in the struggle for life hypothesis clearly involves races, not merely individuals within races. In The Descent of Man, for example, Darwin speculated, and these are his words, at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace throughout the world the savage races. And we should never forget Thomas Huxley. He coined the term agnostic. He was the man most responsible for advancing Darwinian doctrine. He said this, "No rational man, cognizant of the facts, believes that the average Negro is the equal, still less, the superior of the white man. For evolution to succeed, that kind of language is necessary, because it is as crucial that the unfit die as that the fittest survive. If the unfit would survive indefinitely, they would continually infect the fit with their less fit genes, and of course, then evolution couldn't take place." So while the evolutionary racism of Darwin's day is currently politically incorrect, current biology textbooks still display residues of racism. Again, I answer that question, is evolution racist, in my book, The Creation Answer Book. It is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. You can order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up, Carol listening in Washington. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Hank. It's been a long time since I've called. I was having a discussion, quite heated, with one of my older sons, and I discovered he believes in Jesus, but he thinks that Noah and the Ark and Adam and Eve are all fables, fairy tales. And so, of course, that has caused a big wedge here, and I'm really heartbroken. But he wanted to know, how did all the nationalities come to be, the black person and Chinese, Japanese, and all this?
Well, it depends on
the answer.
Yeah, it really depends on what presupposition you start with. It's kind of ironic that I opened the show talking about racism from the Darwinian evolution standpoint, because in Darwin's viewpoint, there's a gradation of races, with Caucasians at the top, blacks at the bottom, and yellow somewhere in between. So he used very politically incorrect language and a racist paradigm. And of course, that makes a lot of common sense in the evolutionary dogma, because you have the survival of the fittest in the struggle for existence. But in the Christian religion, there is no such thing as race except to run the race. So the Bible does not speak of race so much as it does of language and people and tribes and nations. And the reason we have different characteristics is because of what geneticists call the founder principle, which is the notion that the groups isolated because of the confusion of their languages and therefore only drew upon a fraction of the total gene pool, and thus you have different genetic proclivities or characteristics. And that's why you have distinctions. I'm from Holland, so I have fair skin. I have blue eyes. That's a typical, although not a universal trait in Holland by any means, but it's a very typical trait in Holland. If you go to Africa, you find people with more pigmentation in their skin than I have. You have different color of eyes and so forth. But we don't look as Christians at this as race. We look at this as just different characteristics that people have. We're just all people. And the reason is in the evolutionary dogma, you have this notion that you can go from one kind to another kind. In the Christian belief system, you never have that kind of a notion. Every kind reproduces after its own kind. So we're just people. We have different genetic proclivities and characteristics, but we are, at the end of the day, just people.
Right, but he doesn't believe in Adam and Eve or anything like that. And I'm just I was praying this morning, and I read in my devotions in Isaiah 44:3 that I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. And I want to claim that verse, because I didn't realize that my children were so far off the beaten path. My first marriage was very traumatic and hard on them, and I stayed with it for many years. I probably shouldn't have, but they kind of blame me for that. And they don't have any type of spiritual life because of all the chaos, I suppose. But I did, you know, I went with them to Sunday school and taught them, but their dad claimed to be a Christian, but he didn't live anything the way Christ would have wanted him to. And I had to end up getting a divorce. So I feel really bad about that. This has been years ago. But I'm seeing the results of all that pain and anguish. And it's just really hard. I blame myself, wishing, you know, I had done something different. But I didn't.
Yeah.
So I guess I need comfort to know that it isn't all my fault, and that hopefully God will bring them back.
Yeah, Carol, you can't go backwards, but you can go forwards, and I think that's what you're attempting to do. And you can pray as you're praying. You can also equip yourself. I mean, one of the reasons I wrote the Creation Answer book is to answer questions like, did Adam and Eve really exist?
I need to get that book for sure. I have your apocalypse code, but the Creation Answer book, is that what it's called?
Yeah, and I also deal with the flood. So I answer all kinds
good.
Of questions with respect to Noah's flood, also questions with respect to origins. And do remember what the text of Scripture says. It says, from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And all of the evidence demonstrates that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and therefore we can accept it as a reliable source. And again, I provide that evidence in the Creation Answer book.
Okay, I'm going to have to. You get that online or any Bible bookstore?
Yeah, you can get it at a bookstore anywhere, or you can get it through equip.org at the Christian Research Institute.
Okay, very much. I'm very happy about that. Thank you, Hank. I really respect you, and I knew you'd have the answers for me.
Well, bless you. Don't beat yourself up. Press on.
All right.
God's got a plan and a future for you.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Ron in Springfield, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Ron.
Hey, how are you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm happy to connect so quick.
Well, I'm happy
I had a question concerning Ezekiel chapter 8. It's right down in 16 through 18. And just, you know, the usual commentary puts it, connects all this with Adonis and throwing a lot of stuff in there to show you the connections between a lot of the pagan rituals. And what I'm wondering just is what you really think about the branch that they were talking about, the branch to the nose, and what God's talking about there. And if you could just give me a little commentary there just for encouragement.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure anybody actually knows. I mean, there are commentaries that will tell you that they know, but I don't know that everything that's in the Scripture is identifiable in some kind of direct way where you can say, well, this was a particular pagan practice at the time. In context, you kind of get what's going on, though. You get what's going on is that there is nature worship likely going on, and this is probably symbolic of that. The idea being that the Israelites had refused to worship the Creator and were now worshiping created things, very much like the cultures around them, and they had been designed or designated to be a light to the nations, and here, instead of being a light to the nations, they were prostituting themselves with the nations and picking up the pagan practices of the nations. And that, of course, is why Ezekiel is prophesying that a terror stands on the horizon. What God had promised to do was about to happen, which is to say that God said that if you follow the detestable ways of the pagan nations in the land, the same thing's going to happen to you that happened to them. And this is the warning, idolatry in the temple, following the pagan practices, and this is likely one of them.
That's right. Moses spoke about it, you know, in Deuteronomy 32, and Jesus spoke about the branch. We're the branch, and he's the vine that we should follow. Amen.
Well, yeah, and remember, though, that sometimes, and you'll find a lot of mixed metaphors, or you'll find a lot of metaphors with similarity, but the fact that they're similarity doesn't mean that the metaphors are identical metaphors. Jesus being the branch, for example, and this putting the branch to the nose may be entirely different things. Although it could be some kind of oblique reference to the fact that instead of cherishing the branch, which is from the root or the stump of Jesse, they violated the branch. So who
knows?
Could
it be real quick that they are putting their own branch, like he speaks of, that we're the branch and he's the vine? In John, I think it's 15 or 16, I'm not really sure where, but he says, we're the branch, he's the vine. And Moses says that too, that they follow another vine. And then they chose to put their branch out to another entity instead of God.
Yeah, it's possible, but likely this is kind of a metaphorical kind of reference that the Jews of that day would have been very familiar with, even though we're not. There are a lot of things in the Bible that we simply don't know the answer to. We find the answer out as more and more archaeology uncovers information for us. For example, there was a time in which we didn't understand what Pim meant in the Old Testament. And now we do as a result of archaeological discoveries. So oftentimes the commentaries or even the translations would give you a bad translation of what Pim meant. Now we know. But it could be the same situation here. But the context really gives this one away.
Thank you, Hank. That's good. That's great. I appreciate it a lot.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. And, of course, one of the things that I do in Has God Spoken is demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And not only do I do that, but in the book I also teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth, or how to mine the Bible for all its wealth. The book is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. If you don't have a copy, it's probably the most important book I've ever written, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Bible's Divine Inspiration. You can order online at equip.org. You can order via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, that number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Also a reminder that if you do not have the DVD With God on Our Side, all this month we have been offering it for your gift. Get your copy. I've always felt that it is my responsibility to bring the big issues of the day to the fore. This is one of those issues. Get With God on Our Side for your donation. Be right back.
Evangelical Christians have universally rejected once common biblical rationalizations for enslavement of blacks. But could it be that when it comes to Israel today, millions hold a double standard? Is it true that God has mandated the displacement of Arabs to make way for Jews? Or is it rather the case that with God there is no favoritism? Decide for yourself as you watch the insightful DVD With God on Our Side. It's our gift to you when you support CRI with a gift of any amount today. Your support helps create the broadcasts and resources that matter to you. So go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. If America required people of African descent to leave the country to make way for people of European ancestry, would we rightly be condemned as a nation that promoted racism and apartheid? If any of our fellow Christians attempted to justify those actions with Scripture, you and I would have a duty to protest. But in Israel today, Christian Zionists defend ethnic cleansing. The displacement of Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, to make room for Jews as a divine command. Learn more about this matter of eternal significance on the compelling DVD With God on Our Side. Our gift to you in appreciation for your gift of any amount. With theologians and Palestinian Christians, explore the issue and decide in your own heart. please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org and request your copy of With God on Our Side. Is legislating morality biblical? Whether your politics are on the right, the left, or somewhere in between, there is a more fundamental question to answer before deciding how to vote. Are Christians called to use the political process to enshrine biblical morality into law? The latest issue of the Christian Research Journal answers this question in a full-length viewpoint debate. The eye-catching, content-rich Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication, designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Subscribe to the journal online at equip.org or by calling 888-7000-CRI. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Kim, listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, on WTRU. Hi, Kim.
How are you doing, Hank?
Good, how are you?
Just fine. My question is coming from Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. And my question is, does Jesus allow Satan to come against believers to test our love and our trust in him the way he did Peter?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there's no question whatsoever that we are tempted and tested by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that is precisely why we are instructed in passages like Ephesians to put on the full armor of God. If we do not, we are victims in spiritual battle. If we do, then we're invincible in spiritual battle. So again, what we're told in Ephesians chapter 6 is that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when, not if, but when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you've done everything to stand.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. So again, yes, we are tempted by the world, flesh, and the devil. We ought to put on the full armor of God. And I have written a book to that end called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rick in Alberta, Canada, listening on CJCA. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
Good. I have a high respect for your ministry. I've listened for years. But I'm a little bit... I guess we're allowed to disagree on things, right?
No, absolutely. Please.
I am an avowed young earth creationist, and I came to that position because I was dealing with some Christian school teacher who believes in evolution, and I couldn't see how that he could marry. He believes that God used processes of evolution to get us here, and he's a Christian school teacher at a, you know, Christian Reformed church, and I cannot put those two together at all.
Well, I think you're right about that. I don't think you can harmonize the two. And I've often said that's the worst of all possibilities.
Right.
If you want to believe in evolution, that's fine, but don't blame God for it. It's cruel and it's inefficient, and it flies in the face of all the evidence.
Right, of an all-knowing God. And so I could actually back up a semi-trailer of questions for you, but have you heard of Creation Ministries? I'm sure you have.
I've heard of Creation Ministries, yes. Yeah. I don't know if you're talking about a specific one, like there is the Institute for Creation Research,
yeah,
and various other ones like that, yeah.
Well, there's Answers in Genesis. And
Answers in Genesis, yeah. Yeah.
Creation.com is supposedly the largest one right now. Anyway, I've been on hikes with these people through geological. One guy's a karstologist, a world-leading karstologist who measures the emission of helium and different elements of rock. And he has as much evidence that the Earth is young as you might have of it being old, right? I believe, like, the Mount Ararat is about 17,000 feet high. And when it talks about the waters covering the mountains of Ararat, then that would have to mean the world was flooded as well, right? It needs to find its, equilibrium. Anyway, it's just the ages, the exponential population of species and creatures just doesn't make sense. One more thing is, you talk about animals dying and diseased before Adam and Eve. Is that one of your positions?
Well, if you have an old universe, it has to be the position, but you also have to hold the biblical position that Adam's sin is the cause of all moral evil in the universe, apart from the fall of Satan himself.
Okay. I just encourage it, because twice I've heard comments about Kent Hovind, who we all agree is a bit of a, you know, a little off the record here, lacks credibility. But I'm talking about peer-reviewed scientists from creationministries.com, like Emil Savistrew, John Baumgartner. I don't know if you know these names, but I really encourage you to check their...
No, I'm very familiar with them, and I followed their ministries for a long period of time, and I do appreciate the fact that you are checking with general revelation to answer the question with respect to the age of the earth, because I think that's the right thing to do. I don't think that the Bible actually addresses the age issue specifically, and one of the reasons I don't hold to the young earth position is I tend to take a more literal reading of Genesis. Young earth creationists suggest that God employed non-solar light to govern the days until he created the sun, moon, and stars on day four. But the Bible literally says there was evening and there was morning, indicating that the first 3 days of creation were normal solar days that encompassed daylight and darkness. And so I want to take that seriously. Of course, I think that that is a way of remembering God's prowess in creation. It's chirological, not chronological. As far as what you said about the global flood, I just make one correction, and that is the presumption that the floodwaters rose to 29,055 feet or 20 feet higher than the elevation of Mount Everest is a misguided notion. And I think the reason for that is the science of plate tectonics. From that science, it has become abundantly clear that Everest is significantly higher today than it would have been at the time of the Great Flood.
Yeah, but it seems like you default, like you say there's divine truth, right? And then you kind of separate, you say things like, I follow where the truth leads me, but we are given to deception, right? And I guess I see the evidence of catastrophism around the world. I see evidence that there's no evidence of the geological record that Charles Lyell asserted anywhere, right? So we're kowtowing to Darwinist thinkers.
No, I really appreciate the line of reasoning that you're using, because if all of the evidence in general revelation actually points to a young universe,
yeah,
I'm all for that. I mean, I think that's where the debate needs to be, and I particularly appreciate the way you so articulately keep it on that,
yeah,
that sphere of general revelation, because you're asking the right questions of the right source. The thing that I'm pointing out is that it seems to me that there are things that we see in general revelation that point to a universe far older than just 6,000 years. For example, the sequential layers in the formation of ice cores, they point to an Earth much older than 6,000 years. And so I would look at things like that. I'd look at the speed of light. I'd look at star life. Things that there's not a lot of conjecture about. I mean, you can look in the night sky and see a star that is in infancy. You can see a star that's in midlife. You can see a white dwarf star. And by that, you can ascertain that the universe has to be older than 6,000 years of age. But again, if someone could demonstrate from all of these things that you're pointing to in general revelation that that's ill-informed, I'd be the first to bow to that information.
I'm frightened by James Hutton's theory that the present is the key to the past. God didn't need to use the same... A supernatural God doesn't need to use the same laws today as he used before, because when we create something quite quickly, and we can't measure what he did before. Neither the creationist or the evolutionist was there. So to me, the jury is still out. And I see the general revelation as being a young earth, not an old earth, but a destroyed earth.
And yeah, what you're saying there is one of the scariest things for me. I think that once you start down that path, you start down the path of saying that you can't use the past in terms of making assertions for the present, I think that's a very, very dangerous, very, very dangerous place to be.
Why would that be?
For a lot of reasons. I think the moment you say that the laws no longer hold fast, then you have to say, well, God created his handiwork with the appearance of age. And I think that now you're in an area where you can neither prove or disprove that.
Yeah, but we can neither prove or disprove how old the Earth universe is either. We're assuming on our own scientific principles.
We're right, but I don't think that God is deceiving us in some way.
We are limiting his powers, what I'm saying about if he's...
Yeah, but
he's
would you
God.
Trust a science book that was filled with distortions or intentional lies?
No, because it's man-made. I'm talking about God's word. We're on a different realm of possibility here.
Yeah, but what you're saying is that you cannot trust what you see. So
I
you can't see the here's
no, I
the here's the thing.
I can't trust man's limited interpretations is what I can't trust. I believe in an awesome, infinite God that
right.
We
can't. But you got to remember that Western civilization was built on the DNA of the Bible. And it came as a result of Augustine, let's say, in distinction to someone like Aristotle, mm-hmm. saying that, no, the universe is not unknowable. You can't figure out things about the universe. The universe is ministered by moody gods. And Augustine said, no, that's not true. Reason, apart from revelation, always lands you in the blind ditch of ignorance. But reason augmented by revelation, wow, now you can start finding out about the eternal nature and divine power of God. And his presuppositions actually led to the advancement of science, so that it was Christians who were thinking God's thoughts after him, looking for his fingerprints in humanity, but also seeing it in the creation God had made. That allowed science to develop. The moment you postulate what you postulated, science could never have developed. We would still be with astrology instead of astronomy if you said you couldn't really figure out, you can't really believe what you're seeing, and the laws that used to govern aren't the laws that govern now. It's a very dangerous proposition. I think it's a very dangerous path to be on, quite frankly. But I do very much appreciate the fact that you are seeking to understand the age of the universe by looking at general revelation. I think that's exactly what you need to do. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I'm coming up to a station break. I address all of these questions and much, much more in the Creation Answer book. How you view your origins will ultimately determine how you live your life. If you believe you're a function of undirected, purposeless processes, you're going to live by a different standard than if you know that you are created in the image of God and accountable to him. The Creation Answer book, again, available. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can order there in a safe, secure fashion. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits.
Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man will return in a moment. If America required people of African descent to leave the country to make way for people of European ancestry, would we rightly be condemned as a nation that promoted racism and apartheid? If any of our fellow Christians attempted to justify those actions with Scripture, you and I would have a duty to protest. But in Israel today, Christian Zionists defend ethnic cleansing. The displacement of Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, to make room for Jews as a divine command. Learn more about this matter of eternal significance on the compelling DVD With God on Our Side. Our gift to you in appreciation for your gift of any amount. With theologians and Palestinian Christians, explore the issue and decide in your own heart. Please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org and request your copy of With God on Our Side. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In separate articles, Hank Hanegraaff and Steve Gregg make sense of Ezekiel's difficult temple vision. Other topics include, is legislating morality biblical? Did Jesus and Paul preach two different gospels? Are evangelicals really at war with science? An exploration of how Jack Kerouac shaped the life script of today's millennial generation. A summary critique of Mark and Grace Driscoll's controversial book, Real Marriage, The Truth About Sex, Friendship, and Life Together, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe to the journal online at equip.org. That's equip.org. There's no question that the modern state of Israel has a right to exist, and we should defend that right. But how far should Christians go in supporting Israel's policies towards the Palestinians, especially when some of those Palestinians are our brothers and sisters in Christ? Hear from Palestinian Christians and respected theologians on the DVD With God on Our Side, our gift to you when you partner with CRI today with a gift of any amount. Your gift helps create more of the broadcast you love. So please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is John in St. Peter's, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, John. Hello, John. I guess John is not there. We'll go back to the phone lines, talk to a John in Seattle, Washington. Hi, John. Hello, John.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Real quick, my question has been one that's been puzzling me for years, and that has to do with when Moses and Aaron were before Pharaoh, and Moses threw his rod down, of course, and it turned into a serpent. The magicians did the exact same thing. What I would like to find out is if that, because we know, of course, that angels or humans don't have creative prerogative, was this a situation where the Lord allowed this to happen for his own purposes, much as he did with Samuel's appearance?
No, I don't think at all. I mean, the magicians were able to demonstrate to Pharaoh that turning staffs into snakes or water into blood could be accomplished through natural means, and therefore you didn't have to explain this as the intervention of God into human affairs. But with the advent of the plague of gnats, remember what the magicians were forced to tell Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. In other words, a natural explanation simply cannot suffice here. So what's going on is Pharaoh's magicians applied their secret arts and they imitated the miracles sufficiently to blunt the force of the miracles on Pharaoh's conscience. But
what are we seeing there?
Beg your pardon?
I said, what are we seeing here then? Are we seeing, in regards to the creation of that, Is it the appeared to be snakes, or where were there actually? Did they turn their rods into serpents?
No, they used sleight of mind and sleight of hand. And the reason they did this is this gave them the pretext of believing that Moses really wasn't operating as a result of the power of God. They're saying essentially to Pharaoh, you know what he's doing, we can do too. So they blunted the force of the miracles by sleight of hand and sleight of mind, and that's the way they fooled Pharaoh. But there were times in which they could do it, also times in which they couldn't do it, and that's why I gave you the example of the plague of gnats, where the magicians then said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, because they had no way of duplicating that. Their magic arts would not allow them to do that. And we can see sleight of hand and sleight of mind in our own day in a lot of different venues. You can see a magician pretty much every day of the week in Vegas, and they can do things, and you just can't believe they actually did that. Now, they're using sleight of mind, they're using sleight of hand to fool you. And in fact, I had a good friend who was a magician, and he used to show me how he did it. And I was just absolutely baffled because I couldn't figure it out until he showed me. Once he showed me, it was pretty simple. But this is what was happening with Pharaoh's magicians. They did not have creative prowess, and therefore, when it came to the plague of gnats, they couldn't duplicate what Moses was doing.
But the part we always skip over, Hank, and this is the part that has me puzzled. That's one thing. Of course, the card tricks, sleight of hand, I got all of that. What puzzles me is Moses' snake ate their snake. There was something there. They didn't imagine to eat that. Moses' snake ate those.
Well, I'm not saying that there weren't snakes involved. I'm simply saying that just like a magician pulls a rabbit out of a hat that you thought was previously empty, the magicians produce snakes using their magic arts. And you have to remember that we so often think that somehow or other our magicians today are more sophisticated than their magicians were. That's not necessarily the truth at all. We have an accumulation of knowledge that allows us to make iPads, but in terms of sleight of hand and sleight of mind, I'm sure that they had the kind of prowess that today's magicians have. And today's magicians can do that every day of the week, and they can make it look like they made a snake appear out of nothing. All you have to do is go to a Vegas act to see that.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. That was my question. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Go back to the phone lines. We'll try John again, St. Peter's, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. I was talking to you on a Bluetooth, and maybe you couldn't hear me, so then you went to John in Seattle, Washington.
Well, I got two Johns for the price of one.
Yeah, it's an honor to talk to you. I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller. You were talking about the age of the Earth, which is fascinating to me. And I have a question. You were saying that we're talking about the Bible never really specifies how old the earth is. But in Genesis, it does say in the evening and the morning. Now, I'm wondering, and I want to hear what you say about this, is it possible that that was the only delineation of time, the evening and the morning, and that they, that day was not necessarily 24 hours when you consider the Earth not being spherical in its infancy, but a blob that where the water and the land have to be separated, and perhaps what constitutes day and night today, the round Earth turning in the light of the sun, and then again the sun was only produced after on the fourth day. So is it possible that the Genesis days could have been billions of years old?
Well, I don't think that the Genesis days were billions of years old. I don't think that that's the point. I do think that the universe is a lot older than 6,000 years. It may be billions of years old, but I don't think you get that information from the text. What the days of creation are designed to do is to help you remember the purposes of God and also remember the prowess of God in creation. But you're right to bring up what I brought up with an earlier caller, and that is, if you look at the text tells you that there was evening and morning on the first 3 days, and yet there was no sun until the fourth day in terms of the chronology itself. So the point is that this is not a way of measuring time. It is a way of giving you a framework by which you can remember that God created all things. And I think if you want to answer the timing question, the way that you answer that question is by looking at general revelation.
Okay. So the Bible doesn't say that these were 24-hour days.
Well, yes. I'm saying the Bible does say that these are 24-hour days, that they're normal solar days. And the point is, remember that Moses is writing long after the creation event, and he is giving his hearers a way of remembering that it was God who created all things, because they were going to encounter pagans, and they were supposed to be a light to the pagan nations, and he was forever impressing upon their mind so that they could teach it to their children when they walked along the path and when they were in the home, so they could write it on the door frames of their homes, so that they could write it on their gates, so that they could tie it to their fingers, to their forehead, so they would never forget that it was God that created all things, that things were created by God such that we worship God and not created things.
Oh, yeah, okay, I can appreciate that. It gives me chills just thinking about it. But my question is, so you're saying that it was actual, they were actual 24-hour days. And
but that's the framework, not the timing. In other words, that's the framework by which you remember that God created everything. It's not the timing. So it isn't meant to give you chronology. It is meant to give you chirology, which is God's purpose in creation, as opposed to the chronological sequencing of creation.
Yes. Okay. I think that answers my question.
Well, thank you so much for calling, and I've delineated all of that in the Creation Answer book, and that is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Let's go to Justin next, listening in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Justin.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I'm going to ask a question I'm sure you've been asked quite a few times, and unfortunately, I've missed those answers. So I've got a sister who is in a situation of psychosis right now, who is also a strong Christian. And it's pretty much the situation where you're dealing with a 28-year-old who you look at medicine as a way to try to resolve this issue. But as a Christian, you want to trust in God. So as far as healing goes, is that a reasonable concept to have? As far as, like, you know, we saw the apostles healing sick people mentally and physically. Is that an expectation we can have today?
Well, yes and no. First of all, we know that God can do all things, so that God can heal the blind, He can cause the lame to walk. He can take ears that have no hearing and give them hearing instantaneously. He can raise the dead. We saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. He was in the grave 4 days, and Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. So certainly we believe on the basis of Scripture that God can do miracles. However, miracles are not normative today. If they were normative, we wouldn't call them miracles. Miracles took place in a particular time and space so that the words of the prophets and the words of the apostles would be substantiated by miracles. So we would know that these were true prophets of God because the prophets could foretell the future. We would know that these were true apostles because they could do the works they saw their master Jesus Christ do. And so they were authenticated by their miracles. There are no true apostles and prophets today. In fact, we look at the Bible as the infallible repository for redemptive revelation, and we test all things in light of that. So I don't think, again, miracles are normative today. The normative thing that happens in life is we all get sick and eventually we all die. The death rate is one per person. We're all going to make it. That's the normal course of life. And quite frankly, Christianity doesn't give you a peaceful way to come to terms with deafness and disease and blindness and destruction and decay. But it does give us something far better, a way to overcome them through the power of resurrection. And that ultimately is what we look to as Christians, not perfect health and wealth in this lifetime, but the reality of a perfect eternity in which we will live with a resurrected Christ. I've written about that in various places, but the principal place I've addressed the whole issue of modern day miracles is in my book, Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, also Counterfeit Revival. Both books are available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can check them out there. You can also write me, as always, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can pick up your telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants as well. That number, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. See you right back here tomorrow, same place, same time.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the Internet, just log on to equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. If America required people of African descent to leave the country to make way for people of European ancestry, would we rightly be condemned as a nation that promoted racism and apartheid? If any of our fellow Christians attempted to justify those actions with Scripture, you and I would have a duty to protest. But in Israel today, Christian Zionists defend ethnic cleansing. The displacement of Arabs, including Palestinian Christians, to make room for Jews as a divine command. Learn more about this matter of eternal significance on the compelling DVD, With God on Our Side,
our gift to you in appreciation for your gift of any amount. With theologians and Palestinian Christians, explore the issue and decide in your own heart. Please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org and request your copy of With God on Our Side.